Welcome back to the Solid Foundations podcast. Isabel Regalado, aka Bear, Gilbert Regalado, aka Dad. So Bear, what's new? What's new in the life of Bear in the past, since we recorded last?
Since we recorded last, I believe I said I was going to,
You think or you did?
I know we spoke about my jiu-jitsu tournament that was coming up.
It's all right. Just stop picking the pen, though. That's what happens That's what happens when you skip a week of recording.
Okay.
Yeah, so you had your jiu-jitsu tournament. How'd you do?
I felt like I did pretty well. I'm actually very proud of myself for this coming tournament. My dad, I don't know.
You're proud of yourself for the last tournament or for upcoming tournament? What's going on? That's why we need your discipline go here.
That's why I'm proud of myself from my last tournament, because I felt like I showed a lot of my skill and the time that I've been, or the work that I've been putting in those last couple weeks leading up to the tournament. So I felt very good, because I was doubting myself the whole time before I got on the mat. So
yeah, that's an old habit we're still working on.
Yes.
But you're getting better. And your team, was your team proud of you?
Oh, yeah. They're very proud of me. Oh, and then I got my blue belt.
Nice.
That's the big news. I finally got the blue belt.
So now you roll a whole lot better now.
Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. I've been waiting a long time. Definitely wasn't the ceremony that I thought, but it will do is with the people that I do work with, so.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, for me, I spent the whole last couple weeks working on a big job doing with our office furniture company, our family business, and it had been, I would say, over 4 years since I had been on a project like that. The last time we spoke, I was talking about looking for ways to be able to start making income. You know, something that solid will be my nonprofit, will be my way to give to the community and to kids, but that I needed something to kind of scratch my itch for my entrepreneurial thing. And so although this is work and it's not my own business, it also allows me to go in, do something that I know like the back of my hand, know that when I work, I'm actually going to make money, because as an entrepreneur and starting your own businesses, you go to work all day, but that doesn't guarantee you money. So this is a nice feeling that I got, and I believe it's going to give me momentum as I think in my brain, you know, what next move do I want to do for a business? The added bonus, I got to work with your sister and your brother. So that was great. I haven't seen Gil, your brother, my son, that much, and get to spend that much time with them in a long time. So that was great, and I got to catch up a lot with Katrina.
It's beautiful here.
So yeah, that was awesome. So today, I want to talk about the importance from like my side as a parent, how important it was and how great it was for to have my kids be passionate about something that they could pour themselves into. And I think that it'll help any parent, especially when their kids go from a little kid into their teenage years, to have that something where the kid just wants to work hard and become better at it, and it has helped me. So I want to get into detail about that. For you, it was martial arts. And to me, that was like a great bonus. Not only were you passionate about something, but training in wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, just the discipline that comes with it, the work ethic that you learn, the amount of health and fitness that you're doing every time you're training.
Confidence.
The confidence booster, exactly. So I really want to interview you on your journey through martial arts. So what's your earliest memory of any type of martial arts training?
I would say boxing. I remember this day. It's funny because I think it was Katrina, my sister's first time sparring.
Uh-huh.
But I just remember this. And my first memory was at Joe's Boxing. I forgot what it used to be called.
Primo Boxing?
At Primo Boxing. I think that's where we started. How old were we? I don't know.
That was probably pre-junior high or like beginning of junior high for you.
Pre-junior high. I think Katrina might have been in junior high because I remember my junior high years and I was in Primo, that's for sure. But, I remember going to this small gym, and I don't remember me boxing too much, but I remember going there.
And was it just like second nature? Oh, we're going to go boxing. Sure, let's go try it. Or was there something that you were nervous about, or were you excited about it? Was it second nature to you? What?
I would kind of say I would use second nature. I don't remember ever feeling like nervous, but I do remember feeling like this excitement because I guess I had no doubt in my mind like I wouldn't be. I felt like I wasn't going to be bad at it, so I was excited to try it.
And were you excited like you felt it was going to be fun as well?
Oh.
And so where do you think that came from? Like how does a little kid say like, oh, I'm going to go have fun punching things, potentially being punched?
Well, just growing up with my cousins, and I remember this game, I think you used to call it Monster, mm-hmm. where you would chase us around the playground, and once you caught us, you would punch us in the stomach and in the ribs, all over, and then just playing different type of games with my cousin that involved hitting and painful, but it made it fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when hearing about this thing called boxing, I was like, oh, this is what I've been doing, but now I get to actually put on equipment, gloves.
And so that was important to me. You guys growing up was to get you used to being very physical. And I think that it was something that my mom did for us when we were growing up. I played fight constantly with my dad as well growing up. So I wanted to make that sure that you guys did it. And you guys had fun doing it. I always wanted to make it as fun as possible. And that's why I tried to make it into a game. And so you guys got so used to it, your brother and sisters, but sometimes, you know, we'd bring cousins in and stuff like that. And they were like in shock, like, what's going on? Why are you beating me? But it was like tag, right? Mm-hmm. It was tag. I'd get you guys and love tap you all over. But I always try to gauge on who could take most. Mm-hmm. I wanted to push the limit just so you guys felt that physical activity. And I'd usually, you know, drag you into like a little dungeon and throw you. Yeah. It was usually at a playground underneath the slide or something, right? And we just made it just, I was aiming to make it fun so that when you grew up, you would think of any physicality like that as fun and want to push through. And so Primo Boxing was a nonprofit gym back in the day that is no longer around anymore. But that was, that was your first gym that you went to. It was my girlfriend at the time, introduced me to it. I had never done any martial arts training before. This was, I would say I was probably maybe 32 at the time. God, that's funny to you. And so she had wanted me to do jiu-jitsu, but I wasn't about jiu-jitsu. But she asked me, okay, well, let's do boxing. And she had already known Joe,
mm-hmm.
That was the head instructor over there. And I knew Primo, her brother, had trained out of there as well. And so she brought us in. And, of course, I invited you and your sister Katrina. And I'm not sure if Gil came, but I know you guys came for sure. And Joe was always such a good coach. He made it fun too, but still serious, taking care of business. And so, that was your first experience there. And it didn't take long to get you guys in the ring to start sparring. And you had fun. You smiled, laughed, and you and Katrina would spar whether we were at training or at home. All right? So was there anything more that sticks out to you training in Primo?
No, just having my sister next to my side made it 10 times better.
And was it what you thought? Did it make it fun? Did it spark something in you?
I would definitely say it sparked something in me, but it wasn't until I went into jiu-jitsu where I was like, okay, I like this.
Yeah. And and so that moves on. You know, we probably trained there for almost a year, I would say, close to a year. Primo ends up closing down and ends up, Joe ends up going moving over to Paragon to start mm-hmm. teaching boxing out of there. Now it's at this time that now I'm around jiu-jitsu a lot more. I can actually see what's going on. Wifey has me go and actually train in a garage with her brother and one of our other black belts, Morgan, in his house, in his garage. And that's my first taste of jiu-jitsu there. And so I get my ass handed to me, but I love it, just like you. It's physical. That's what I like. And the mentality that went behind it was something that was addicting to me, and I wanted to learn more. Plus, I didn't have to get punched in the face or dodge punches to get a good training session in. And that's something that always stuck out to me with boxing, was that if you want to go hard, usually you got to spar. Mm-hmm. And that is very painful if you're not good at boxing, because you think you could just stand there and throw them, but that's mm-hmm. not what boxing is about. You got to constantly be moving. Mm-hmm. And so getting punched is one thing, but just the actual pain from the cardio that you need to be good in boxing, to me, actually hurt more. There's times where I'd be sparring, I'd literally just be like, just punch me. I can't move around anymore. I'll just cover up mm-hmm. and take it, you know? And so, especially me being in my 30s and not being that spring chicken as in my 20s anymore, I really was like, oh, jiu-jitsu is something I want to mm-hmm. pour my time into and see where that takes me. And so I start training there. I believe you're at the junior high and Katrina's at the high school, which were both close by,
yeah.
Paragon. And so you guys used to come over after school so that I could train, but then you guys would leave home with me. So you guys would sit there and be watching. I would do what I could to try to get you guys on the mat. You just weren't having it. What was in your young mind there? You know, you're probably 11 at that time, 12.
Oh, okay. This is my first time ever seeing jiu-jitsu, but my first thoughts is like, these old men, all sweaty, are just rolling around on this dirty mat. Like what? I'm crying. Like, what are we even doing here, you know? I think that's so funny. Yeah, I just thought, like, you guys weirdos, like.
And yeah, so when I asked you, you were like, no, just not into it. You or Katrina weren't into it. It was something so new to me. It's not like I could really speak to you in detail of the mm-hmm. benefits or why. But I know I wanted you guys to start. But I also know I couldn't push it on you guys, or I might push you away from it. So some time goes by, you know, I'm training for 4 months. I end up doing my first tournament. And wipeout, gi. At this time, I went in to start training jiu-jitsu about 175 pounds. But just the shock of the workouts and the intensity of it, mm-hmm. I dropped 15 pounds. And so at this time, I'm walking around like 160. So that's what I go do a tournament in. Ends up being a decent sized tournament. I get 4 matches. I happen to win them all by submission. And after the first match, I mean, I'm just, I want to quit. It just hurt. It's just the intensity of it. But I keep getting my hand raised. You know, the guy ends up tapping out from a submission that I get. So I got to go on to the next one. And I'm kind of like just trying to recover in between matches, not too aware of like what's going on, like what's my family doing, what are you guys doing.
You don't feel good?
Not then, no. There's a part of me who's just like make it stop, Lois. Make it stop. But there's no quit. I can't give up. Although no matter how painful that was, I knew that if I were to give up or not give it my all, I would not feel good about myself. And I learned a long time ago that that pain of shame and letting myself down is something that I never want to feel. And so I just pushed through. And I happened to take gold on that. And so this story isn't necessarily to brag about myself and all my great white belt tournament, but it was such a pivotal time in my life, and I believe yours, because it was after that, both you and Katrina said, sign me up for jiu-jitsu. So walk me through that from like your perspective of what's going on from when you, are you excited about going to the tournament, looking forward to it? Or are you thinking, oh, just more sweat, a whole hundreds of sweaty guys rolling on each other, to where made you want to train?
I can't really remember how you told us that you're doing a tournament, but like I didn't think like, oh, now I gotta go watch this old man go compete with other people. I was more like, I like to see my father compete, so I was like, oh, this is gonna be an interesting thing to watch. And I'm just like, I knew that I wasn't gonna be into it. I'm just like, yeah. That's what family do. That's what I grew up doing, is going to my,
to go support.
Yeah, like whenever, yeah, exactly.
We have a basketball game, football game, whatever sports game. We always went to go support each other.
Exactly. Oh. So it was just a regular day, and I just remember seeing you on. I don't know if it was your first match or whatever, but I remember seeing you in a match, and just, I don't know if you get this feeling, but whenever I watch someone compete, like Elena, for example, doing a wrestling tournament, I feel like I'm in the match. Like, I feel like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So once I was tensing up for you and feeling all that emotion, and then just to see your hand raise and just how excited and how good and happy I felt, I was like, dang, imagine my hand. Imagine my hand raised up. Like, if I feel good just seeing my dad's hand raised, imagine how good I would feel getting my hand raised. So I was like, oh, yeah, it's something I definitely want to do.
Yeah. And from that point on, I never had to force you guys to train jiu-jitsu, ever talk you into it. You guys said, sign me up. I immediately jumped on that, signed you up. You and Katrina got to have like an intro class together. Mm-hmm. Where you immediately got to pretty much, I would say, roll for the first time with your sister. You learned a couple technique, then boom, got to roll. How was that very first intro class for you?
It was just fun and exciting, new. Like, I just remember chasing Katrina in a circle. And we even have our hair up. We had our hair long down, like,
tossed up.
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
And some oversized geese. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we were just, you could just hear, when I rewatched the videos, just laughing, giggling. I just remember feeling good. And like, anytime I watch those videos, like, I just get a smile because I remember it.
And now that you say about those videos, I'm pretty sure there's a clip in one of those videos where, you know, Katrina's head is north, your head is south, and you lock your legs around Katrina's head, like in a triangle. Mm-hmm. And you recently did that at your last tournament. You were north-south, laying on each other's bellies, getting in a triangle. So that's an old move that you brought back.
Mm-hmm. Muscle memory.
And so that leads on. But right away, you guys don't waste any time, and you're like, we want to compete. Sign us up to compete. Mm-hmm. So then we start signing you up for the old dream tournaments, right? And dream tournaments are still going. It's a great tournament for young kids. They give medals, and you spell them out. So you guys would say you won the D. You wanted to go back and win the R, the E, the A, and the M. And you guys wanted to compete as much as possible. Walk me through your very first competition, if you can remember that, in jiu-jitsu as a kid.
I wouldn't be able to tell you if this was my first competition, but I remember it was in Gi. Not my favorite thing, but it was in Gi. And I might have won my first one. I can't remember, but I know I lost one. And And when I lost, oh, that one, that hurt. Like, it, I just remember just being so upset. And, like, Katrina, like, talking to me, like, telling me what to do. And I just remember just feeling good. Like, every time I got my hand raised, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a feeling. I was right.
That's what you envisioned? Yep. And it was right what you had thought? It
was right, yep. And I was like, this is something I can continue doing.
And you did. Mm-hmm. You did. You did. You did that all through junior high. Then when high school, you hit high school, there's an immediate transition. Now, I don't remember exactly myself because I can't see myself saying, hey, stop jujitsu and start wrestling. Mm-hmm. Because I, even as a kid, me going to high school, I never knew wrestling existed, especially in schools. Mm-hmm. And so do you remember what got you, like, how did wrestling get on your radar?
I just remember going to my jiu-jitsu class, and I think an hour before, there was wrestling, a wrestling class before that. And I remember showing up maybe a little early, and my coaches were there, and we were talking, and they're like, Bear, like, your submissions are really good, but you need to get better at your takedowns. I'm in eighth grade, and, like, you should start going to the high school. I mean, the classes for wrestling. Like, I've only known wrestling from WWE. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I mean, I like jiu-jitsu. So, and they said wrestling was just jiu-jitsu, just no submission. So I was like, I want to get better. I think I wanted to take down this kid named Harry. So I was like, oh, sign me up. So I remember going into the wrestling, the wrestling class, and then meeting. It was Macias and Coach Hammond, I believe. Mm-hmm. And once they saw me, my first wrestling class, they were like, okay. And I think they saw something. And they finally asked me, like, oh, like, what grade are you in? I said eighth grade. And then they're like, oh, if you're coming in Santa Barbara High School, we have this program. Like, you should join it. Like, okay, you know.
And so you said something right there. When you're like, I was in training already, and they told me a way of how to get better. Some people would have thought of, I don't want to do more work. Like, I'm already working hard, and this training is hard and tough. I'm not going to go do extra and do more work. Already, you had that mindset then and there, is like, excited about doing more work because it could get mm-hmm. you better. And that's the key as a parent, is what I loved about you finding something passionate about. Because now the more time you can do healthy things, the less time my teenager has to do unhealthy things. And that was without me telling you. And, you know, so it's not only like the sport or the activity, but it's the coaches and the mentors and the people that help. And not only were you blessed, but I was blessed for you to have coaches like Macias and Hammond to make you feel comfortable, to be supportive, and be the kind of the guiding light in that journey from you learning something whole and something brand new to you. And so you go there. You start training, and they tell you, hey, if you go to Santa Barbara, come join the team. Or is it try out? What is it?
They said, come join the team. And I remember my first day of high school going to the gym. And I just remember seeing this one girl. This one girl, she just looked, she was a beautiful woman, but I just remember she just looked like, I don't know what to say, like, this is a badass woman. Like, I was like, dang, like, this girl, like, hold herself well. And I was very intrigued by that. And again, I did the first practice. It was fun to me. Yeah, it worked out. Again, in high school, I didn't really talk to a lot of people. So when I got into the wrestling room, I knew a lot, not that I knew a lot about wrestling, but I knew some of it. So I was able to talk to people and feel comfortable. And then, of course, when they got to know me and got to see my work ethic and my skill, history.
Yeah. I don't think you were ever known to be like the social one in the room, but you were known to be the hard worker, the one who's going to give it their all, the one who wants to learn, who wants to be there. And that was my introduction as a parent to you going in and wrestling. And I got to learn from it, from the outside in. You know, as a teenager, especially you're going into high school, and in high school, you know, I'm getting arrested. I'm smoking. I'm drinking. I'm not saying that you never mm-hmm. you never did any of those things. Well, you never got arrested, but you know, drinking and smoking, and but I was like crazy, going crazy with it, right? Ditching school. Becoming a parent, you know, having to go mm-hmm. to different drug and alcohol programs, stuff like that, joining a gang, all this stuff with all this extra time on my hands. Once I stopped doing sports, and really what it was once I stopped having a passion for something to go mm-hmm. do, and me having all this time on my hands, it got filled with stuff that did not serve me good, right? And put my parents through a horrible time. So I know that, like, there, when you're going through those teenage years, I know that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of there, like, to support you however I can, so you stick with this, with wrestling, because I could see you coming home tired from the, because you go to school, you go right to the wrestling room, work. And then, you know, you want to get stronger. So then you're lifting. You're working on your cardio. You're kind of too tired to go out and party.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're too tired to be like getting in the drama and the he said, she said stuff. You're like, I'm going to school, going to wrestling, and I'm it. Anytime you would have asked me to go to a party, I'm like, go ahead. You know, I didn't hold you back from it. But it was you mostly who rarely asked, because you had wrestling. And wrestling is so different from a lot of things, because you're not going to want to go party and then you got to go compete the next morning. You're going to go hungover, you're going to go sluggish. No, you wanted to be a peak performer. So that was a godsend for me, for you to fall in love with wrestling. And so you, with wrestling comes competitions. That's a part of it. You practice, then you go and compete. You got your tournaments and you got your dual meets. Do you remember your first tournament, I mean your first competition in wrestling, and how you fell and how that went?
My first competition, I remember feeling really nervous, but also I was excited. I had a good support. My support team was there, but I don't remember too much, like, how I used to get, like, from my most recent wrestling tournaments. I don't think it was ever the same. I don't think I used to cry my first one. Do you remember me crying?
Like, it was all just fun and games at that time?
Yeah, it was.
And so that's interesting. When you first start, it's all fun and games, and as you go, go through and progress, those feelings start to change, right? And so we'll get into that. And so that's SB, you do your first year. You find it hard for you to get better at SB because they don't really have a girls program at the time. And so you start getting interested in wanting to level up your training. Yeah, you get to train with guys, so you get tougher and tougher. But you don't really get to use the same, you don't get to get that same, you're not competing against guys in dual meets, right? So you wanted to train against girls so you can feel what it's like in the training room to go up against mm-hmm. them when you compete. And so you set your eyes on DP, on Dos Pueblos High School. At that time, they had a good girl, they had the best wrestling program in Santa Barbara County. And they had a good amount of girls on their team. So we get you transferred to DP, and now you start wrestling for them. Coach Macias and Coach Hammond and a few of the other great coaches you had on that team, they're still doing their thing. They stay there. You move on, and you get to meet your new coach, Coach Bro. and he's new too, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So it's his first year. He comes from down south, and he's coming up to introduce his type of wrestling style to Santa Barbara. And so now you're under somebody new, new coach, new team. What's that feel like?
Well, going into my sophomore year, I was already practicing with DP because they would hold open mats during the summer, and they would invite the Santa Barbara crew, and I believe SM or whoever would want to go. They were open about it. So going in, like, I already knew more than half the wrestling team, and I kind of already broke. Coach Burr already knew who I was and knew about me. So when I went into there, like, I was already set. Like, they knew who I was, and they already knew my work ethic, and I feel like they were excited to have me on their team, or that's what they made me feel.
Looking back now, do you feel that was the right move? Like, that you felt your wrestling did get better? It served you the way you wanted it to, that move?
Oh, most definitely. Like, I didn't just switch from Santa Barbara to DP just because of wrestling. Like, I believe, like, my first year in high school, like, I didn't even want to go to school anymore. Like, I hated it. Like, didn't like the people. I just hated the environment. I hated the way it made me feel. And I remember us going to an online school. But I remember on the online school, maybe 2 weeks in, like, I was like, I miss wrestling. Like, I miss my sport. Oh,
like
sport.
Independent studies?
Yeah, uh-huh. Olive Grove.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember just, like, I need something. And I remember going to you, like, but I don't want to go to Santa Barbara. So you're like, well, DP. And again, I used to practice with them, and I knew that they had a good the wrestling program was good. So I was like, I would like to try it out.
And so I've said kind of my piece of what wrestling did for me as a parent. You going through high school, you just explained how you couldn't stand going to school anymore as your first freshman year at Santa Barbara High. You try independent studies, no, that's not it either. So now you know you want to go back. You're going to go try it again. It's going to be a new place, new environment. How much does wrestling play a part for you, somebody who doesn't like school, who doesn't like the environment, but that it helped keep you going? Like, what did wrestling do for you to help you with that?
Again, in the past episode, I've talked about not the love languages, but the physical needs that a human needs. And with wrestling, I was hitting probably more than my three needs, my significance. I wouldn't say I would definitely give me uncertainty, so not certainty, but just, yeah, that significance.
Well, I would say certainty, because you knew you were going to be good at it. You knew that it was either going to relieve stress from you, or you were going to have a good time doing it. Of course, variety, uncertainty / variety, because you're new training partners. Mm-hmm. You're learning new moves, right? Significance, you're getting your hand raised all the time, right? Your coach, bro, when you said at the end of your varsity year, and he's handing out the MVPs and stuff like that, in his speech, he says, man, coach, not coach, man, Bear was a highlight reel waiting to happen. So the significance was on a major level for you. That love and connection, you had connection with your coaches, your training partners, it brought you closer to your family, right? Because now they're going, and you have something for them to go watch and support you. Growth, you're growing every year, getting better and better. And then, contribution, not only are you doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for your team. Like, dual meets are won by what team won the most, who scored the most points. So yeah, it hit all your needs on a major level. You did struggle in high school with being able to realize that, though. You had wrestling, and in a sense, it was the case of the grass is always greener on the other side. You had this beautiful thing, wrestling. It was meeting all your needs on a high level, and it was meeting them in the best way it can be, right? It was good for you. It was good for others. Right? It mm-hmm. was good for the world as a whole. Like, and it felt good. My heart, it hurt a little bit, like mm-hmm. doing the work, but it felt really good after, you know? So that's the best way you could meet your needs. But you're, in your mind, you're like, man, I need to be more social. I should have more friends. I should be going out mm-hmm. more. So talk about what battle was going on in your mind during that time and the struggles that you were going over mentally.
I don't know. No, I do know. But yeah, I was high school was definitely a very interesting time, and it was hard, I would say, but also I learned a lot about myself. So again, I don't regret it, but I just remember, like I've talked about it, just I've always felt left out in a sort of way, like anywhere. Like again, I've had people I hung out with because I wasn't socially awkward. Like I knew how to talk, like I knew how to start conversations, but I just didn't really connect with those people. And I remember, like my when I went to DP, I definitely didn't know anybody. But at Santa Barbara, at least my siblings were well known, and mm-hmm. they all know, oh, Katrina's little sister, Gilbert's little sister. So it was definitely scary going over here to DP. But I remember this one girl kind of, I wouldn't say do me a favor, because I felt like it was mutual. Like, she liked me and I liked her. So she came up to me. She was in my class just saying, oh, hey, like, you're pretty, you know. And we started talking. She's like, you could come hang out with me at lunch. So, like, perfect. And like, I was, like, trying to find, like, a spot to myself.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to talk with anybody. And I just remember in my head, I'd be like, I was excited to be like, okay, I'm actually making friends. But I'm also like, I knew that I didn't really connect with her. And I was like, I knew I wanted to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and then I was like, Bear, like, you're a weirdo if you do that. So that's the thing that was going back and forth. Was always like, if you want to be alone and you feel okay being alone, Bear, then be alone. Because when I was with the people I used to hang out with, it was just like, I was just standing there, and if someone talked to me, I would talk to them. But I remember my first time going to lunch with them, hanging out with them. I'm getting off track. What was the question again?
You're right on track. You were talking about the how you felt going through your social life. Because even though wrestling was meeting your needs and doing very well for you, you were always struggling with, well, I need to be social. I need to have a friend circle. And so that's all you were going mm-hmm. You were going along with that. And it is something that we would talk about a lot. And I would explain to you, and I'm sure you can look back now and be like, oh, I'm just more of an introvert. I don't really necessarily, like, being around people is cool, but I'd rather be by myself mm-hmm. a lot.
But I don't think I understood that saying, that introvert. Like, I'm pretty sure I heard that word, but I didn't really understand the meaning. All I knew is that everyone my age is, they mm-hmm. have friends, they're going out. And, like, even if you're not even the people that don't go with go to parties and, like, hang out with the popular group, they still have their friend group that they hang out with
yeah.
on a regular day. And I just remember, like, I have no one first that I even want to hang out with, or that I even feel comfortable hanging out with again. And then wrestling, and how wrestling came to help was that I met one of my only friend that I talked to out of high school.
Yeah, through wrestling.
Yeah, it was yeah. through wrestling. So I just, again, the battle in my head was me accepting who I am, and if that means I'm introvert and I like to be alone, so be it. But I was also fighting on how I saw and how I kind of wanted my life to be, just because that I wanted to be able to fit in. So if everyone my age is doing that, that's what I should be doing. And on top of that, I have my older brother, my older sister, who lived up to that that high school expectation where they're going to parties, they're going to that homecoming, they're going to prom. And I just remember, I didn't feel excited to go to homecoming. Even when that one friend would invite me, like, she would always try to include me, but first of all, she's total opposite of me. So I knew that she's a social butterfly, that she would not intentionally leave me, but she would go and talk.
Yeah,
and
just got caught up.
Yeah, just
live in the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And I never want to pull her back, but also knew, like, I don't enjoy that, so I'm not. Just, I'll hang out with you another day. But I just remember just going back and forth of just, like, me wanting to be alone, but also me yearning to just to have that perfect life, but not, also not even wanting that.
Yeah. Yeah, that you just said that great point right there is, now you could see that looking back, you wanted to be there so bad, but then you were like, I don't even want this. And so now you're there and you're like, I'm still a weirdo because I got what I wanted, but I don't like it. And, you know, I want the parents to know that, well, just as a human going through, a teenager going through high school, you're going to have some sort of problem, like, one way or the other. And so I'm not saying, like, wrestling or having a passion is a cure-all, that, oh, they just have that and they won't go through their problem. Like, everyone's going to go through their go-through. But it's just so much of a help, because when we would have these talks with you, there's a lot of times I would go take you lunch and we would sit in the car in the parking lot and just have lunch, or we'd go to a park nearby and then I'd drop you off after. Like, we would do a lot of lunch dates, and we would talk, you know, a lot about this subject. And you're such an emotional creature. You're a teenager, you're a young woman, and then just your personality type, you're a very emotional person. And all that raw emotion is not going to download, like, logic as much as, no matter what I try to break it down and what principles I tell you and these different types of personality types and stuff, and values and attributes, it just wasn't. But it's still in there, like, your subconscious, but you're not going to be like, oh, I feel better. Like, some, you might feel better in the moment, but as a parent, and at least I could speak from a father's perspective or point of view, that all I could do was try to explain to you and just be there for you. No matter how many times we had to have the same conversation, was just to be there for you and understand that you're not going to understand.
And yeah, it definitely helped. And I know, I do remember having those lunches, which I don't want to call myself a weirdo, because I just knew that no other junior in high school is having lunches with their father on, like, a daily basis. But and then that's, like, there, why are you even saying that? That's what you wanted, so that is okay. Mm-hmm. It's just, I get so caught up on what other people will think, and definitely learn on that.
On what other people will think. And that started bleeding over into your wrestling.
Yeah.
So you were saying, as a freshman, man, wrestling was all fun and games, and it was just good. But as you got, I think as you got better and you were building a name for yourself, that name brought you, I think, ego boost, but it also brought you a lot of, like, nervousness. And now what are people going to think? I can't fail now, because I'm going to, what exactly did you think you were going to lose? Or what were you afraid of?
Now that I, like, when I think about it, I think I was, again, even, like, with my going into me thinking about what other people would think, it's like, you explained it well, like, me getting well known, like, my name, like, I'm getting better, so people expect a lot more out of me. And I don't think I really made a connection in my head where, like, like I was putting in work. Like I was in the wrestling room and in the gym. I was back and forth. I was putting in that work, but I also felt like I kind of had, it was like, have you ever heard like imposter syndrome? Mm-hmm. Where like, I don't think I believed in myself, because also I had friends. Like if we really think about it, I had people to talk to. I wouldn't call them friends, but I had a group of people that I used to call friends. So I kind of felt like I never knew who I was. So when it came into wrestling and getting well known and my name out there and my coach saying like, oh, these girls are looking for you. Like they're like afraid. That's not, and then I kind of like, oh, now they're really going to see who I am. Like I'm a no good. Nobody knows me. Like I'm just a nobody. Like they're really, I feel like that's what it was. Like they're going to really figure out who I am and they're really not going to like me anymore. And they're not going to treat me the same way that they used to treat me. If you lose. Yeah, if I lose.
And because you said I was working hard, I was training hard. That's how they, that's how a lot of people knew me. But it wasn't just that. You were winning a lot. You were winning most of the time. And you were winning in a very fun to watch fashion, right? Just like I said, what your coach said, you're a highlight reel waiting to happen. And all that still, what you just wouldn't accept it. You wouldn't accept it. And, you know, there's this one time where I think it kind of just all hit you. You know, you had a tough match against a girl from San Ynez. You guys were battling. And I don't know if you got tapped or it was by points. I don't remember. But you lost that match. And you did the whole, they raised your hand, you shook the other coach's hand, but then you ran outside of the gym. And remember that? And you went to go, like, sit and pout, right? Mm-hmm. And so I went out there. Do you remember what that conversation was about when I went out there and went to go see what was the matter?
Wasn't it a San Ynez guy, not a girl? And it was at Santa Barbara, are you sure?
Yeah.
This is at DP?
I don't know where it was at.
No, but I do remember you sitting there with me and just like, either like saying like, yeah, I don't really remember, but I just remember your last part, like either gonna sit here and think you're like a sore loser, or you're gonna go out there and take your loss as the bear you are. And I was like,
well, you got up from sitting there and you went in, right? You went in and just like you win with a smile and towards the end, it was hard to get a smile out of you even when you were winning. But at least you'd be walking up straight, like, okay, on to the next one. And all the meaning of that talk that we had was, I want you to conduct yourself the same way whether you win or lose. So get back in there and conduct yourself as if you were to win. And you did, to your credit. You got up, wiped the tears off of your face, and you went back in. Now, later, I think I don't know if it was a CIS, but you got to face this girl again. Mm. Short hair.
Yeah.
You know, short blonde hair. I don't know. And what happened when you got the rematch?
I got my W.
You got the dub, right? And I think that was pretty close to the end of the season. If I could remember correctly, it just felt like, mm-hmm. for me as a father, I'm glad you at least got the chance to go in and get your chance at a rematch. And then for you to win, it felt even better because, I'm hoping that it proves to you that you are good. You are I wanted you to see that you were as good as everybody knew you were. And so that was kind of how I remember your wrestling season coming to an end, your wrestling career, mm-hmm. I should say, as in high school. And so wrestling's done. You graduate. How long does it take you to pick up a martial art?
Like 2 months.
2 months and you jump right in it? Mm-hmm. What do you jump into?
The women's class.
What martial art?
Solid Foundation, Jiu-Jitsu, and all women's class.
Back, you jumped into Jiu-Jitsu, right?
Yep.
And you haven't skipped the beat. You started training, and already you're like, I want to compete. I want to compete. And there's still some of that stuff you're shaking off and you're working through, but you're getting better and better at it. And to me, that's something that I hope you will never stop working on, and that training will help you get through it in a way that people can help you continue to train, continue to compete, and work through those personal issues is sponsorship, right? You're a young woman. You got a full-time job. You got a car payment. You got rent. You got the little pup, Ghosty Ghost. Your everyday bills. You live in Santa Barbara, but you want to compete. You know, you want to compete on the mat so you could compete mm-hmm. against those opponents and get better. But you also got to compete against that bear that's in there that's exactly. saying, hey, you're not good enough. Hey, mm-hmm. what are you doing on this mat? So you don't belong here. Weirdo.
Exactly. Right?
So I know you're looking for some sponsors because we want to continue this journey of yours. We want you to continue to compete and push yourself at a higher and higher level. Like you said, you were a white belt. You just got promoted to blue belt. Well, as a white belt, you're already competing and winning mm-hmm. blue belt. This last tournament, you competed against blue and purple belts, and you did excellent in there. That one, you lost your first match by this bad habit that you got that you need to stop, mm-hmm. where the ref thinks you tap because you do a motion that looks mm-hmm. like it. And this time you got called out for it. Mm-hmm. So you lost that match. You went on to win your next 4 or 5 by submission. Then you get to go against the girl that you lost to in that first round. Mm-hmm. Now the only thing you could win is third because you're in the what they call the loser's bracket. But you get that vindication again. You get that rematch mm-hmm. to say, okay, let's see what will really happen if I don't, you know, mm-hmm. make a mistake and phantom tap out. And you win. You win by submission. And so we hope to be able to see you more and more in those tournaments because it is so entertaining to watch. And people can sponsor you. They could contact me at gilbert@sbsolid.org. We're still working the deals out. You know, mm-hmm. if it's a business or a person, you want to contact me. We could talk about what you're looking for to get out of your sponsorship. And what your sponsorship money will go to is to help you sign up for your next tournament, your tournament mm-hmm. fees, your travel fees. And, you know, hopefully we could build a nice little thing in the community where you have sponsors and we could either help businesses or individuals mm-hmm. could just feel good because they're helping a young woman who's driven and is willing to put in work to become better.
It'd be a beautiful yeah. thing.
And just like their sponsorships, we're seeing if there's any interest for you. There's sponsorships for all our kids that work hard every week at Solid Foundations. What we have, though, is called the BRIC program. And we have people enrolled in the BRIC program. Few, but strong. They're the mm-hmm. backbone of Solid being able to pay their bills, make sure we hold classes. We have a steady income because we know our BRIC members are there and they're donating monthly. This helps us offer free classes to kids. This allows us to change up the lessons, like work ethic class where we have them use drills and build things. We constantly need material for that. Mm-hmm. The more tools we have for the kids, the easier it is for them to learn. You know, we can't have like 15 kids waiting mm-hmm. for their one screwdriver or their drill, right? And so it's just so helpful to have these BRIC program members. You know, we're talking about you and how much you were struggling through high school, but yet you had wrestling. And you never know what the costs were. You don't know how much it costs to take you out to those tournaments and to get you new shoes and get you your singlets and all this travel, food, stay, right?
All I know is that I'm struggling now to do my tournaments. Imagine having like 4 kids, having their own different things, trying to pay for them.
And so I know from being that parent what it costs to do that, and the amount of work you got to do, and the amount of sacrifice you have to do to get your kids to that, to be able to do those things. What the Solid Brick program helps when you contribute is you make sure that kids never lose out on being able to have those opportunities just because of lack of resources. Yep. You know, so that is very important here at Solid. Other ways that you could support us if you can't become a Brick member or be a sponsor for Bear is just do go through one of our family businesses. You know, Wifey runs the women's program. If you're a woman interested in women's jiu-jitsu, come try the jiu-jitsu class. A free week for you. See if you like it. You want to get your hair done by her? She's a black belt. And she's a hairstylist. Salon owner on top of that. And she's got a staff. You know, so look up sbcharm.com. That's another way that you can help Solid is by booking an appointment. Santa Barbara Office Interiors is our family business, like I was talking about earlier in the podcast. I'm out there working again, seeing how I like it. And office furniture, a lot of people, if you might not know this, Bear, but some don't even know that as an industry. No. You tell people, like, what do you do? And you're like, office furniture, what is that? Mm. What, do you work in an office? Yeah. You sit in the chair, you work at a desk, you work in a cubicle. Yeah, well, that's what we do. Okay, so if you need anything, office furniture, look up Santa Barbara Office Interiors. Or you could always contact me, Gilbert@sbsolid.org. Our producer behind the scenes, like a silent ninja back there, for making sure everything's rolling good. My niece, your cousin, Alicia. She has her own company, Bracelets by Alicia. You could reach out to her on IG at bracelets.byAlicia. Saying that right?
Bracelets.byAlicia.
Yeah, see, we got her voice on there. Good. All right, so look her up on IG, custom bracelets she makes, and it'll help her stay interested in continuing to produce podcasts for us. We're hoping for a long time. If you want to contact either Bear or me on social media, I'm at Regalado Gilbert on Instagram. She's at Isabel with 2 L's, 42, Isabellr 42. You could also find me and Solid Foundations, TikTok, YouTube, LinkedIn,
dang,
Facebook. So appreciate your time, Bear.
I appreciate you.
And thank you, our listeners, for stopping by and listening. We'll catch you on the next one.